that's listening to us across Facebook and the different venues that we use. He's calling for you to find that quiet, that secret place where he can come and he can speak and he can talk and he can minister to you. Oh, if you knew how bad he wants to sit and visit with you. In the darkness when everyone else is asleep, sitting in your favorite chair, sitting out on the deck, whether you're listening to worship music, whatever you're doing, he wants to come and speak deeply just to you, just you and him. He doesn't need an audience other than yourself. And just ask him, and he'll bring that to you. So thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for entering into our worship and going into the Holy of Holies. There's many battles were fought this morning in the spiritual world in worship. And there have been many victories. Let's look at the victories. Through the mind's eye, the spirit's eye, that we get to see the victories that are continuing being won. And this continues all around us. So this morning as we go forward, I want to pray for some people that have had a very hard time in the season lately. We want to pray for the Broadbeck family. You know, Ben lost his brother and his mother both through the season. His other brother was also in the hospital, and the Lord came and healed and saved. So we want to pray for the Broadbecks. We want to pray for our brother James this morning. James had several blood transplants, and there's been several that have been over to visit him, call him, take him some things, and we just thank the Lord for saints that do that, and we just want to pray for James for his full restoration. Until it's over, God's not done. God's not done with this flesh until he takes it home. Chad Carlson had a surgery, I believe. That surgery is already done. If not, it's coming up soon, and we want to remember him and his restoration as well. There's been, I had a brother in the house this morning talk to me about Colorado. They've had two brand new fires kick up here in the last several days, and many more houses are being threatened. Many lives are being disrupted. His family's lives have been disrupted. And we want to pray for that. It's interesting how out of sight, out of mind that can be, since that isn't near as prevalent on the news as it was. But they're still burning many, many acres, many homes, many lives are being interrupted. So we're going to take that to prayer this morning. And just this is the place where we fight battles, is on our knees, in our hearts, on the prayer line. Okay, so let's go together in prayer. Father, we pray for these sons and daughters of yours that have gone through such a tough, rough, hard time. We pray for the Broadbecks. I pray for Ben's heart and his brother's heart. Pray for Becky and the children. I pray for those that are related, Lord, that you'd come and you'd bring peace and you'd bring restoration, Lord, and things that may not in the flesh be understood or be peaceful, Lord, those sandals of peace that you give us, may those be what they wear out, dear God, through the season. Our brother James, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you'd come and touch his body, that you'd strengthen him, that you'd restore him, dear God. And Lord, that the good news that continues to flow from deep within him would continue to flow out. Touch his family, touch his daughter, touch his grandson, dear God, on the way through. We pray for Chad Carlin, Lord, and his wife, dear Father, that you'd watch over them, bless them, that healing would come quickly, that it would be restored, Lord, as quickly, Lord, as you would come and do. We pray for those, Lord, that are affected by the fires, dear God, out west. Those, dear God, that are being devastated. They're being chased away from their homes, dear Father. They may lose all their material blessings here on earth. But, Lord, may they see, Lord, that they have eternal blessings within the heart, dear God. And, Father, bless them and keep them. And, Father, as I go forward today, as I speak, dear Father, that Lord, it not be the foolish things of my heart, Lord, that be spoken. But Lord, the divided word, dear Father, the things that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me, dear Father, to bring to those in this audience this morning, those on the video stream, dear Father, and dear Lord, those that will hear it in the future. May this be a word that is alive, that is well and fresh, dear God. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you all for praying with me. There's where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst and he's doing things. And I love the scripture. And I love, as if I sat here and talked to you guys, how the scripture's hidden your heart. Yes, we have the living word of God, which is the Bible, But God also lets us hide these words in our hearts so that they can come up and they can be fresh. And we don't have to do this. It's really impressive when you're talking to somebody that doesn't know a lot about the Lord and you can string off scripture after scripture. These are the things that you've, through the years, just continually hidden in your heart and have made a difference for you. And how great it is that you don't have to get the living pages out. They're already living within you and you can share that with others. What a beautiful thing you get to do in all of that. A few announcements here. We have a fall youth event coming up here next Saturday night from 6 to 9, from ages 12 on up through that high school. We ask that if you're coming, that you invite a friend. If you know somebody that's in that age range and they need a connection, because we are in a season of needing connection. Our young people need connections. Older people need connections, and it's just a place where they can come together. They're going to have food, they're going to have games, they're going to carve some pumpkins, and they're promising me that everybody's fingers will be intact when they're done carving pumpkins. So, you know, as much as you can do there. If not, we got a good first aid team on board. Everybody knows how that pumpkin thing can go. It can go south in a hurry. Drive-through, we're doing a nightlight here yet this year, Friday, October 30th, from 6 to 8:30, or 6:30 to 8, I don't know what the time is, it's out on the sign there. Sorry, I don't have that flyer in front of me, I should have wrote it down. But anyways, we'll get that to you. But there's a bucket outside for candy yet, we're still collecting candy, and it's just going to be a fun time. We're going to have tables set up, they're going to start on the far avenue over here, and they're going to drive through. We're going to hand them candy. We're going to hand them some trinkets. We're going to have hot dogs, chips, waters for them. We're going to have music playing, and it's just going to be a fun time for them. So what's the purpose? We're alive. We're a church family, and we're alive, and we're excited about it. We're just going to share the light of Christ in a dark time. And that's what it's all about. And we're going to do it, you know, as COVID-friendly as we can with our masks and hand things through the windows into their bags. So everything will be pre-wrapped. So it'll be a blast doing that. So come on out and join us. If you have any questions, you want to help, see Janine or somebody in the office here. If you want to drop off more candy, do that. By the way, if you get the digital coupon, Kroger's got candy for half price if you use the coupon. So however you're going to do it, just if you're going to stock up for your candy jar, that's a great time to do it. So let's do it there. So those of you that may not know, last Monday we had an arts and crafts fair here. Our sister Mona there, right there she is. She's the hero. She put this together, her and her group, and the ladies, I think this number's right, they were donating a portion of everything they did to Women of the Well. It was $1,700. $1,700 it was that we donated down there to Women of the Well. What? Wow, 1,830 with the cash donations that came in as well. So, wow, what a blessing. And it was set up. Miss Mona did such a wonderful job. I helped her, but she had this room just set up, and it flowed so nice, and the traffic coming in, everybody was COVID checked. She had all the details covered, so we're just so proud of you, Mona, and your group and what you did. And these people really sold some stuff. Wow, I would have never imagined, you know. So an old guy like me is not the guy to drag to your fair because he don't buy much of anything. If it ain't food, he's not interested. So there we go. And then Wednesday night, Standing Strong in Difficult Times, 6 o'clock, we do a light meal here at the back. And then we have different teachers through the church. We've had quite a bit. We've got a pretty deep bench of staff that teaches, and we'd love for you to come out to that. We talk for a while, and then we break up into tables so we can go a little deeper with it. Plus, we do it online as well, so come join us in that. Last week, I had the opportunity to talk, and I talked about the anatomy of addiction. This is kind of the wheelhouse of mine that I love to do, and it's just so interesting. Each one of us in this room have probably known or had a family member or been somehow connected to somebody with addiction. And information is wonderful. Information's good. It's kind of like this word of God that he gives us. It's full of information at all times, and it'll lead us through even the things that are ahead of us. So thank you much for coming out and being strong with us, because these are difficult times we're headed into and we live in today. Pastor Jeff and Tracy are out this week. They should be back this coming weekend. We do have Doug Easterday, who's going to speak next week. So he'll come and talk, and he, you know, if you've ever met Doug, he's a great speaker and just captures the heart of his audience through the plans of the Spirit. But Pastor Jeff and Tracy, as they're out, they're getting trained, doing something they've been wanting to do for years, some training they wanted, and also I pray that they're getting refreshed and filled up, because we are in a time and a day where it takes more and more times for pit stops to get filled up. It's like we're gas hogs, we're energy hogs. And I'll use that wording on me. I won't use it on you lovely ladies, but you're talking about a machine up here that just needs more and more time of filling up than we ever have, because the world just keeps trying to crush in and change. So enjoy that. Pray for them as they're gone. But I also encourage you, I also challenge you to find those places how you, as individuals and couples and families, can fill up too. That is so important. So thank you for that. So my first slide, gentlemen. All right, there we are. So I love this picture. Whenever I see this picture, it is awesome. God's Word. And God's Word is as a two-edged sword. And yes, I did say sword. Sorry, it's just my brain where I come from, and that's the word that flows so naturally out of my mind. But it's the Holy Word, the Bible. And as we were looking at, as we were checking that out, Glenn tells me this morning, he says, you see the Bible and the sword, and you see the engagement ring that is imprinted in underneath. And it was such a wonderful thing to hear him say that God is so engaged with the hearts. God is so in love with us, and he's ready for the wedding feast that will come. And this book is such an important part of it. So God's Word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Meet my new collection to my weaponry. My wife got this for me yesterday, and this is a short sword. In the Roman days, they would have called this a machaira sword, and it's where they used their shields, and they would stand. This was for up close battle, and they would jab and slice and dice and mince those against them. So everybody had a shield, but you're getting this in, and you're trying to take your piece of the man. So you're trying to win the day is what you're trying. You're trying to survive. And but what I'm going to talk a lot about today is the Bible. I'm going to talk about the Bible, which is also known as the book, which is also known as the Word of the Living God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword that will come against man. So I love when I get to add pieces to my armory of God and to use them as. So this would be what we would call a broadsword in the day. Those that have watched the battles on the different movies and all. This is a true piece of art. This is a replica, of course. But many of these men would have this tucked in a sheath on their back and off to the side so they could quickly grab it and bring it out. I love the guys that have two of them, and they could use both hands. So they were slicer and dicers. Those gentlemen could make it happen. Blenders is right. And what a mighty weapon for the time and the day that it was in. Now, if you take one of these to the gunfight, you're probably not going to fare out so well. I mean, I think you're going to come up on the short end. But if you're face to face with this, it's great. So when I look at this, I think about one of David's mighty men who took up his place in a bean field. If you read the scriptures, you go back in history, the field he caught was a bean field, and he planted his feet. Now, in his full armor, as you know, the shoes are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And these shoes have spikes underneath them. And these spikes were so they could dig in, they had good footing. And if every now and then, if they wanted to do a kick, if they wanted to do one of them karate-type kicks, it was quite a weapon as well. It would do great damage on the way through. But the great man of David stood in the bean field and swung his sword all day long and took down 700 of the Philistine army that day. And his hand froze to the shaft of his sword. Now, I think about this. I'm a dreamer. I'm a visualizing type of guy. Can you imagine the pythons these guys had for arms? I mean, these things were massive. I mean, if I had to sit here and hold this out here like this for 10 minutes, you'd find me failing quickly. But these men did this day in, day out. They were trained from the time they were pups up through for battle. And it wasn't just to kill for killing's sake. It was to kill for a reason. It was to kill for a cause. And that's something that I'm not sure we would understand greatly today. But I do get the opportunity to use my spiritual sword this next week. I have a gentleman coming in that has some spiritual things that are tagging him hard. He's done a lot. He's read his Bible a lot and all. But we just need to go in, and he needs another brother to go with him, and we're going to fight and break off some things of the Spirit. So we're going to go in and with this, and as I spoke to the Holy Spirit about this and been praying about this, I get really excited, because in my mind's eye, my spirit's eye, and I want you to visualize this as well, we get to go in. I get to go in with this gentleman, and as he begins to renounce, as he begins to put away these things, these thoughts, these ideas that have haunted him, in the Spirit, we get to raise and we get to slice through the darkness, and we get to break off chains. We get to break off the things that hold. We get to snap the locks that are on. And some of these are locks that we have allowed to be put on, but they have no business upon us. Because the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we die with Christ, and we are a brand new creature, and we are rose up. So the things that we let hold us from this day forward are things that we allow to continually be deceived about. Things we've allowed the enemy to tell us and to speak so softly in our ears, you don't deserve to be free. Think of the sins that you've done, Bert. You don't deserve it. Yes, I do, and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to put up with this. I am free in Christ, and he who is free in Christ is free indeed. Amen? So I get excited about this kind of stuff. I get excited about freedom for men and women and families. Do you know what it's going to mean to help this gentleman get free from these things? It's going to change him. It's going to change him and his wife and their relationship. It's going to change their family dynamics. It's going to change the DNA of everyone he runs into, because he'll walk different, he'll talk different, he'll realize, he'll spread the message to others, and there'll be freedom everywhere he looks. So God's word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is mighty and does cut through the darkness. That two-edged sword is spiritual. It does cut through the dark, dark, darkness, the mist, the heaviness, the blackness. And I know there's times that your souls are held down by the blackness. Can't quite find your way. And it's with that warrior that comes in with that sword. And sometimes it's God sending a supernatural being to come to your rescue. Sometimes it's God sending a word. Sometimes it's God sending a thought. And it will set you free. Next slide, please. So this is John 1:1. It's not the King James Version for sure. I think it's the NIV, but I'm not positive. But it said it best, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This Word from the very beginning that was spoken, that he knew he was going to speak, that he was speaking over and he was going to have translated for us today, is alive. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here today we have the living Word of God. Now, I know this is fundamental Christianity, but it's a piece of the fundamental foundation that we're letting sit dormant. You guys can answer this or not, but how many brought their real Bibles with them today? Got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got several on the phone. I no condemnation whatsoever. But see, if God told me to give away the Word today, to give it to someone, I'm not giving them my phone. I would give them this. I'd give them this treasure, but I wouldn't give the phone. See, so you guys are hearing me preach this morning. I'm preaching to myself. I haven't carried a Bible through them back doors in 6 months or better. It's got to be something really special. And God goes, what happened to my treasure? And that you, man, this was my lifeline in the beginning days. It's still my lifeline. But I find so many other ways to get it. Instead of my daily devotions being out of this book where I'm scouring, where the message jumps off the page. You ever have words jump out and you go, I have never read that before, and I've read that every year since I was a pup. And that word jumps off and I get to underline it and I get to write notes about it and how it excites me. I can't quite do that with my phone. That just doesn't excite me. I listen to the Daily Audio Bible. I listen to it pretty much every day. Do I miss? Yeah, I miss. But it's not the same. There's days I'll get to my destination. I like to play it in the car because I think I'm a busy guy. I can fool myself so easy. I think I'm busy. And I'll get to the destination and I go, I heard it. But I don't know a thing he just said. I heard his voice drone on, and I missed. And there's other days that it comes totally alive as he's speaking to me. And part of it's the heart. There may be even those days when you crack open the Word of God and it's dry. And you go, is it even getting to my ears, Lord? I know it's hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down. I know that, but see, the Word of God does not go forth void. So hear me out. Whether I'm listening to it on Daily Audio Bible or I'm reading it out of here, you're reading it out of here, it's still making an impact on this heart, this spiritual heart of mine, this flesh. And I love that part. So let's go on with the rest of my verse here. And verse 3, all things came into being through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, is life, will ever be life. And the life was the light of men. Guys, this is the light. This Word of God is the light of men. Because it represents God. It represents everything holy, sacred, and mighty. My salvation is the light that came from God. My understanding that I get from this, it comes from God. And I felt the Holy Spirit really wanted me to speak about how important it is to hang on to this. There are people that tucked us under their pillow at in the evening because just the transference of the beauty of the words inside helped them sleep better. There are those that are in such despair, they they wrap their arms around, just like they are. The Father would wrap his arms around them. They're sinking it deep in their heart. There's such a deep respect and an honor that should go with this book. Now, do Bibles get thrown away in this country? Absolutely. Do Bibles get misused? Absolutely. But there's something about the Bible. Are we teaching our children? Now, we're teaching them Bible stories. We teach them, but are we teaching them about what this book is? This is one book with 66 different books inside. Comes from a different times in history, has different language, has different eras going on. It's a book that had 16 years of history in here. And it tells us how the world began. It tells us how the world ended. And it also leads us and shows us how to live this life in between. That's the part we're really interested in right now. Knowing that the great announcement, the great crescendo, as they say, will be when Jesus Christ rides in here on that great white steed and says, "Come home, my sons and daughters. Come home, my children. For you, great have you done. And come home, and I welcome you to that." I want my kids, I want my grandkids to know that this is the book, that the foundation of their grandfather's life, their father's life, is founded upon. I want this. It was so interesting thinking back. My dad had a Bible before he passed away. And he wrote notes in it. And he wrote things in the side notes, his thoughts, his dreams, and things like that. Yes, you can write in the Bible. It's permissible. It's your Bible. It's between you and God what you do with that. But one of my brothers has that, and someday I just want to sit down with that, curl up with that, and see what my dad's thoughts were on different parts of the scripture. And this is something that I need to hand down to my kids, Bibles with notes and journals. Journaling is such an important part of your lives as well. So if you're not journaling, I'm not talking dear diary today, my heart. No, I'm talking, hey God, today I was a little confused when I read in the scripture. But yet then I asked the Spirit to open up, my eyes began to open up. I began to see that your heart was for me, that you always cared for me even before, and things like that. Those are the types of things we want our children and our children's children to learn from us. So can you take me back to the first slide, please? God's Word. If you looked in the Bible and you begin to look at the verse, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God," the heading in my Bible is the eternal Word. God is the eternal Word. This is the eternal Word. These words that I have spoken and that I'm speaking this morning will live on forever. As long as they're true, they're right, and they're solidly based upon this Word of God, this book of God. Is this a sacred book? Yes, I believe it is. For the Christian faith, it is a sacred book. And that doesn't mean that if something happens to it, my life ends. That just means I pick up another sacred book and begin again, as I have in the past. Most homes have a Bible. 80%, 87% of Americans have a Bible in their home. I think if you walk through our house, you'll find 15, 20 different Bibles. Some are different times and eras in my life. Some are different teaching Bibles that I look into to look up different men's ideas on a verse and subject. And some of them, someone has given me as a gift out there. There are up to 2007... there were 7.5 billion Bibles printed up to 2007. Since 2007, they're estimating 100 million Bibles are printed each year in the United States alone. So you can do the math if you're good at that. And during the COVID, believe it or not, they say this book has been, they can't keep them in demand. Part of it is that you can't get a hold of them right now with all the shipping going on and places closing down. The Bibles are hard to get a hold of. Now, you can still go into the Goodwills and find a good Bible to get the word across. You can go into some hotels yet, and is it okay if you steal God's word out of a hotel? There's one to ponder today. Where would God land on that one? I stole a Gideon Bible out of the Holiday Inn and Suites. So just a thought. So these are numbers that were either sold or given, present today. 273,972 are given away or are bought daily. That's a lot of Bibles. 11,415 Bibles are given away each hour or sold. 190 every minute, and that's 3 a second. So every second, every time that clock goes tick, 3 Bibles, tick, 3 Bibles are going out, tick, 3 Bibles. Wow. For a world that is so full of beauty, grace, and salvation with Bibles around, I'm not sure we're reading them. I'm wondering if we aren't just using them for decoration. I'm not sure. So what about the Bible? What do we do with this Bible? Where does tradition come? I remember as a child, and I don't think I was taught this, but yet I was taught it, okay? It's one of those, I don't think we sat down and had a drill at home. But remember, there may be a few of you who are a little bit older in this room. The early group, they all looked at me like I was crazy. But remember the old coffee table Bibles, the family Bibles, the big, if you got hit with that thing, you weren't coming back up for seconds real quick. So we had those that sat on the coffee table, and they were beautiful. I mean, they may have a picture of Christ or a lamb over his shoulders, you know, this beautiful colored picture in this white leather-bound Bible, and it was massive, and that would sit in a prominent place in your home. And in that, I was taught you never set anything on top of that. Kind of might be a little few rules there, might be a little religion there. You definitely never set a coffee cup or a drink where it leave a ring. Oh, man. How would you ever explain that to your folks if that happened? Oh, my goodness. Inside that Bible, if you opened it, you found out who some of your ancestors were, because there would be a tree in there normally, a big, massive tree. And that tree, you would start out, and some of you would have such zeal when they got it. This Bible was given by blah, blah, blah to the Moore family. And some of you would start out, and then before long, they didn't know who Uncle, you know, Harold was, and they didn't know who that. And before long, we had partial names in there, but ours just never got completed. Our tree was half grown. It just never quite got to full fruition. But with that Bible, it got handed down. When the parents were gone, it got handed down. And when the next family member's gone, it got handed down. So some of these Bibles go long and hard and deep. And there's such deep respect for that living Word of God. So the Holy Spirit asked me this question as I started this talk this morning. Will the Bible be forgotten? Will this, not the Bible as we would call it on our phones or our gadgets, but will this be forgotten in a digital age? As we've seen this morning, there's not a lot of them came through the back door in a Bible-believing, full gospel church this morning. No condemnation, guys. This is the first Sunday I've carried mine in, unless I'm preaching. I don't bring this with me. God forgive me for that. Because this is my treasure. If I got stuck on an island and I could take one thing, would this be one thing I would choose? Ooh, that's a pretty good question. I know I'd want to take a gun. I'd want to take one of my swords. Maybe I want to take some matches. But would I choose a Bible? Would I choose the life? That's a question that only you can answer. So I want you to think about how you honor this book in your home, in your family, how that went, and if that faded, why it faded, and how it faded. Did it sit in a prominent place? Do the Bibles in your home sit in a prominent place around about you? In this book, you will find writings from different times in history, different authors, language, situations, and there are stories of grace, hope, truth, love, salvation, and the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This one book is going to tell us again, like I said earlier, how the world began, how it will end, and how we get to live in the meantime, in the midst of, with the tests, trials, and tribulations that will bring upon us. Those that translated the King James Version of this Bible, they had a statement, they called it this, the inestimable treasure that excelleth all the riches of the earth. And it's inestimable means it's too great to calculate the treasures that we will find and receive within this book. And what a blessing we have. So are the Holy Scriptures sacred? Do you find them sacred? Do you find them holy? Do you find them that thing that you can hide in your heart? Are they alive? If God says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and God's still alive, does that not mean these scriptures, this Word, is alive and well today? And when I mean alive, it will come to your rescue in your darkest hour. It will come to your rescue at all times. And it is a sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and will cut through the darkness of your life. Will come and make sense well before a visit across the table with I Will or your greatest person that you love to sit with. I'll tell you a quick story, and I'm almost out of time. But I used to be a Gideon, and I was a young man as a Gideon, and I always looked at Gideons as being older guys that had nothing better to do. But for some reason, I wanted to be a Gideon so I could go hand out Bibles. So I was a Gideon for 5 or 6 years. And part of the training, they talk about Bibles and the importance of Bibles, and in the training, you can actually, if you want memorials, you can buy Bibles in memory of your loved one, and they will hand them all over the country. They'll put them in prominent places, and they'll do great things with the Bible. They do a lot of cool stuff. But one of the training stories they tell is about a young man who was he was in a motel, and he was kind of down on his luck and broke, and actually he was full of sin. He didn't even know the Lord, so he was really down on his luck at the end of the day. And in that motel, he found himself a Gideon Bible. But he wasn't too interested in reading this Gideon Bible. He was more interested in, he was out of papers to roll his reefer in, and he needed something to roll with. So he opened up that Bible, and that paper, if you ever looked at a Gideon Bible, that paper's perfect for rolling smoke. I mean, it's light, it's crisp, it holds together, it doesn't crinkle up. And it rolls real good, and you can lick it, and yeah, man, you can. So he says, all right, I'm going to. He knew enough morally that he didn't want to ruin the Bible without something coming out of it. So he says, I'll read every page before I roll it and smoke it. So he rolled himself through Matthew. He did, and he rolled himself through Mark, and he rolled himself through Luke. And then he got to chapter 3 of John, and he began to roll John 3, and he read that before, and he goes, wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. And it hit him like a ton of bricks that, wow, who is this God that loved and would give away such a great gift For somebody like me, he doesn't even know. So he fell to his knees, had a radical transformation, the story goes, right at that point. And he got saved. And if I remember the story right, this has been a while, he became a Gideon and he actually gave Bibles away. But he was radically saved and the Lord had changed him. Can you imagine rolling yourself through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and getting there and hearing the good news and changed his whole life? Wow, what a blessing that could be. So I want to leave you this morning with the Bible is alive and ever illuminating. It illuminates his truth, his love, his hope, his justice. And there's so many cool ideas in here how to work out relationships, how to work through trusting God. It's really cool, the mysteries that are in here, the love letters that are in here to you, and just the beauty that God wants to share from his heart to us on any given day. This book's open to us 24/7, 365 days a year. And this is the book, this is the place we go when I want to give you a birthday blessing. I just want to make some junk up. I want it to mean something. I want a good verse. I'm going to give you a wedding card with $20 in it because that's about where I'm at. I'm about a $20 in the card thing. You all think I'm cheap. I know, that's okay. Inflation, Bert. That's what my wife says, inflation, dude. But anyways, I want to give you a card that has something meaningful, a scripture in it. Someone's lost someone in a passing here recently. I want to give you something that's going to, wow, grab your heart, something that means something to me. We lean on that for everything. We lean on this Bible for so many things, but yet we take it so for granted in our lives today. And I think the Lord wants to wake me up. He wants to wake Bert up, if nobody else, this morning. So at the end of this, one more thing I want to tell you. This word is so alive. And I know some of the places my father read in the Bible, because he read them to us. We had Bible time around the living room after dinner. And those were some of the most miserable times of my life. As a kid, because it's just like his word wasn't alive. Maybe it was alive for him, but it wasn't me. But I remember reading some of those things after I got my own Bible and got and received Christ, how those words came alive. So my father's Bible read totally different than mine, because God knew what it would take to wake up the soul of me, and he applied that. And this is an icon of hope for generations from this day forth and forevermore. And this word of God, it is from God, and it's a gift to you this morning. Glenn, if you'll start making your way up. It's from God and will forever represent faith, hope, love, salvation, grace, the beauty of God in your life. I don't want you to lose sight of what a treasure we've been given. You're not going to understand everything in it. Maybe you will. I'm not. I've tried. But I love when someone comes and explains a piece that I've never been able to put together before. I love how I can sit down with my grandkids and say, hey, you hear what Jesus says about this? Oh, man, with the Bible, I've always got an answer. And it's a solid answer, and it's a good answer. It ain't just opinion. It is the truth. And the sooner we get this in the hearts, you know, the African nations, they sit around the fires at night, and they tell stories. That's how they remember their history. That's how they remember who they are. We used to sit around at night and tell stories, Bible stories. That's something that we've lost. There's some cool things we've lost about what God wants. So I would ask you to dream about what God wants you to do with his word, how he can make it come alive and relevant for you, for those around you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your neighbors, your friends. This isn't a Bible to be ashamed of. It's been with us. It's been with us since the first one was printed. 1455, the Gutenberg Press printed the very first Bible. And they printed 133 that year. And this Bible, this book has been smuggled into many nations. My daughter, your senior pastors, Jen Hansen, they've all smuggled, taped Bibles around their ankles as they went into China. They went into these foreign countries, Korea. And it was one of the scariest times and one of the most blessed times of my life when my daughter says, "Hey, I want to go to China. I want to smuggle Bibles in." Okay. How do you say no to that? But she has stories to tell, things she'll never forget. And where is it that God wants you to smuggle this into? Into the hearts of a neighbor, into the hearts of a friend, in the hearts of a relative that has just shut themselves off. But let's start living it, let's start walking it, let it start being a part of you. And let this be an icon. If I come into your home, and I have never been in your home, I'm kind of on high alert, I'm kind of on edge. But if I can get in there and I can see one of these sitting on your dining room table or on next to your chair, you cannot believe the walls and the fences and the defenses that come down quickly. Because if you're toting one of these around, if you're paying attention, if I see it's open and it's written in, you're a safe person. You're safe. You're godly. You're working hard at it. You're chasing. And I thank you for that. So I'm going to have, these are two of my best friends. They make me look real good. I get to follow their act, and I really like these guys. So I'm going to have them do a worship, and then I'll release this here in a minute. So we can stand, do a little worship. And just think about what the Lord would have you do with his living word.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, how he loves a song. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, yeah, you love us. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us. How you love us so. Oh, how you love us so. Oh, how you love us. How you love us. Oh,
Lord, we thank you for your greatness today. We thank you for your word that's alive and well. Started from the very beginning, Lord, and will take us, Lord, till you take us all home. Bless our travels today as we go. Bless our day. Bless all of those, dear Father, that are watching us, Lord, by video stream. God, be blessed and glorified, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Have a good day and God bless you.
We are his portion.